I'm telling you what, I'm having to really try to control having a fifth this morning. I don't know what's going on, but I'm thankful that the Holy Spirit's here with us this morning. Luke chapter number 16 is where we're going to take our reading from, but I want to tell you something. I'm glad, as that song says, you know, you may look and you may say, yeah, I remember the day that I got saved and I come to know Jesus Christ, but just as that song said, he knew who you was before that. That song said that he knew who you was when he carried your cross. He knew that you were going to fail him, but he chose the loss. You know, that's the worst trade that Jesus Christ could have ever made, was to save somebody like me. The worst decision that he could ever make was to love somebody like me that was going to continue to fall and fail and come short of his glory. For somebody to lay his life down for somebody like me, he chose the wrong trade. But I'm so thankful this morning that when he looked at me, he saw somebody worth dying for. I'm so thankful that when he looked at me, he saw something that he wanted to give his life for and forgive me of my sins, that I may enter into a relationship with him, and that one day I could be in his presence for all eternity. I'm thankful that he knew my name this morning. Luke chapter number 16 is where we're going to take our reading from this morning. I have a feeling some of y'all are about like me. You're holding back this morning. We all need to just turn loose and worship God and give it to him. I'm telling you, we worry so much about what other people think about us and everything else. But I want to tell you that we're serving a great God this morning, and he deserves our honor and our glory. He deserves our hand claps. He deserves our hands of praise to be lifted to him. I want to tell you this morning that we are serving an awesome God, and he deserves our worship this morning. Amen. Luke chapter number 16. Y'all pray that my mind will settle down just enough that I can get these thoughts out that God's given me. This is not one of those messages that we just come to church and thank God that we get to preach, but y'all just pray for me that I'll preach it the way that God's given it to me. Pray that I'll be able to preach in love this morning. And as we go to the Lord in word of prayer, I ask you just to pray for me and to pray for his will to be done in the remainder of this service. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for all that you do. God, I want to thank you for being such an awesome God. God, I want to thank you for the report of seven young men giving their life to you. God, I want to thank you for the day that I gave my life to you, that you chose me, knowing me and all of my faults and my failures and my sins. And even this morning, God, standing here in a pulpit that I'm not worthy to stand in, that you love me, just an old sinner saved by your grace. And I want to thank you and praise you for it. God, I'm not worthy of anything. But God, I want to ask you this morning, as we get into your word, I pray that you'll fill my heart with love. God, I pray that you'll fill the message with your power. God, I pray that you'll help us all just to be obedient to your Holy Spirit. May your Spirit work freely in our hearts and our minds, and may we leave here closer than we were when we came. God, I pray most of all, if there's one here today that's lost, I pray that today, as we give an invitation or as you speak to their heart, that they'll move, God, that they'll come to know you as their personal Savior, make the best decision that they'll ever make in their whole entire life. And all these things we ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Luke chapter number 16, we're going to begin reading with verse number 19. Again, a subject that's not preached on very much anymore. A subject that is very needed to be covered. Anyway, let's get into the message. Luke chapter number 16, verse number 19. The Bible says, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. As we read verse number 19, we find a rich man in the Bible. We find that he had this fared sumptuously every day. I can't say that, but as we see those two words, that means he lived a life of luxury. Can I just go ahead and tell you this morning that God has blessed us, and maybe you're here this morning and you're financially well off and you're in a good position, but does that mean that, let me tell you, that doesn't mean that you're in a good position with God. As we continue reading in verse number 20, the Bible says, and there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. Verse number 23, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime received thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us which would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. May God add a blessing to the reading of his word this morning. For just a few minutes this morning, I want us to look at hell. Again, a subject that's not very much preached about in God's house, and it's not something that when we preach about that you're just looking and everybody's, amen, glory, glory. I mean, that's just not the feeling that you get when you talk about hell. But this morning, I know without a doubt that there is a place called heaven. I know without a doubt, the Bible tells me, Jesus said that he was going to go away and prepare a place for me. And if he went away and prepared a place for me, that he would come again and receive me unto himself, that where he was, that there I could be also. I know one day, because of the grace of God, because of the salvation provided through Jesus Christ and the blood that he shed on Calvary, I know that one day when I stand before God and my name is written in the Lamb's book of life, that I am going to spend eternity in heaven with my Savior and with all of my loved ones who have been saved. I know without a doubt that heaven is real this morning. Amen. But just as sure as heaven is real, hell is also real. The Bible teaches us here, the Bible says that the rich man died and was buried, and in hell he lift up his eyes. As bad as we don't like to think about it, or as maybe not politically correct as it may be, or maybe as not as pretty as we would like for it to be, can I just go ahead and can we just make it said this morning that right now, this very second, there are people being tormented in hell. Right now, this very second, and we don't like to think about that. We don't like to think about people dying and going to hell, and that's great, because just as I said at the beginning of this message, God help me to preach this in love, because if we as Christians ever get to the place to where we're boastful, or where we think that we're better than someone else, or that where we think that we didn't deserve hell, and that we could actually wish or want for someone to die and go to hell, then we're in the wrong place in our Christian life. This message is not a message of you deserve hell and I deserve hell. This is a message of what hell is this morning, because I believe if we as Christians, for one thing, would realize what hell is this morning, we would be so much more thankful for the salvation that was provided for us through Jesus Christ. And also, it might light a fire, no pun intended, right up under us to go out into a lost and a dying world and tell everyone about Jesus Christ. But see, as we find here, the Bible says, in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Now, I would love to stand here this morning and preach about how good God is. I would love to preach about how God's going to bless you and how God only wants good for you and how God is going to provide for you. And all those things are true according to God's word. But if you don't understand, and if I never stand as your pastor or as a preacher of the word of God and warn people about the danger of hell, then I am failing what God has given me as a responsibility. Hell is real this morning. As we look and we see, the Bible tells us that the rich man died and in hell he lift up his eyes. There are some things that I want us to see in this scripture, that right now people are in hell, and hell is a literal place. It's not a fictional place. It's not just something that we consider, well, this is so bad or whatever. But hell is an actual literal place, and it is a place of torment. The Bible teaches us that hell is a place of outer darkness, where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth, where the fire is not quenched and the worm dieth not. You know, when we go to, I've had people tell me, well, I've got buddies who are in hell, and I want to go to hell with them. I want to be there with them. We're going to sit around, drink beer, and play cards and all that. That's not what the Bible teaches me that hell is this morning. The Bible teaches me that hell is a place of torment, that it's a place, as we were saying, of outer darkness. The Bible says where the fire is not quenched and the worm dieth not. It's not something that's going to happen right now and flash, it's over, and you never have to deal with it again. But just as sure as heaven is forever and ever and ever, hell is also for all eternity. It is a place of torment for people who deny Jesus Christ. Hell is a place of torment. If we look at the rich man, look what he says. He says, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. He is begging for mercy. He is begging for just a little bit of mercy. He even says, send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and bring it to me that I may be comforted. I want you to know this morning that we were down on a softball field all day yesterday. It was about 90. It felt like 190 degrees down there. I roasted all day long, and how good it felt to go to that cooler and get a bottle of water, and I would suck the bottom out of it, and I was still thirsty. And here he is just begging for one drop of water. Hell is such a place of torment that we can't even comprehend the torment that is in hell this morning. Father Abraham, have mercy on me. But I want you to notice that he knew what was going on. He knew, he could feel, he could think, he could look over into Abraham's bosom. I'm not going to get into all of that. I'm not going to get into that being paradise, and now paradise no longer exists. What you need to realize this morning is that hell is a literal place. I want you to know that as he was there in hell, that he could think, that he could feel, he could see. He knew what was going on. It wasn't that he was just buried in the ground and everything was over, but that he was there being in torment in a place called hell. And then we also see in verse number 25, but Abraham said, son, remember. Do you know that the people that are in hell this morning, they remember? They can think back. You know, I believe that there are people in hell this morning that they can remember. The Bible teaches me that God's Spirit will absolutely, he has promised that he will invite everyone into a relationship with him. The Bible teaches me that everybody at some time there in their life, and you start going, well, preacher, what about those people over there in the jungle? I don't know. I can't explain it to you, but I'm going to tell you this morning on the assurance of God's word that sometime in their life, the Holy Spirit speaks to them and they know they need a Savior in Jesus Christ. I can assure you of that. The Bible also teaches me that the Spirit of God will not always strive with man. And there comes a day and a time when you tell God no for the last time and he will not speak to your heart again. That you're done after that. There is absolutely no hope of you coming to know Jesus Christ. We know this morning that there are people in hell and they can remember a time standing in a Baptist church somewhere. They can remember a preacher getting up and preaching on the love of Jesus Christ. Or maybe they can remember somebody at work coming by and telling them about how much Jesus Christ loved them. They can remember needing help from God, and they remember the Holy Spirit squeezing their heart. And they also remember the time that they said no, no, no. And I don't know how many times God spoke to your heart before you were saved. I got saved, best I remember, about the third time that Jesus Christ knocked on my heart's door. But you know what? After that first one, the rest of those were mercy and grace that God gave to my life. But they can remember in hell this morning the times that they said, no, God, I'm not going to accept what Jesus Christ done for me on the cross. In hell, there is memory. In hell, they will remember things from their life. They will remember. Look, he says, but Abraham said, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. Then also in verse number 26, we realize that there is no escape from hell. We realize as Father Abraham is talking to the rich man, he says, besides this, you need to understand that between us there is a great gulf fixed, that the ones that would pass from here to there can't, and the ones that would pass from there to here can't. That it is an eternal thing. There is no escape from hell. Look, we have religions, let's just call it religions. We have whatever you want to call it, that would tell you that once you die, that the decision is not over. They would tell you that, you know, you die and you're going to go to a place kind of like a purgatory. Or you may even end up somewhere that you don't want to be. But if your family will pray enough, if your family will give enough, if your family will be earnest enough with God, well, for one thing, these people don't know who God is because they're not familiar with his word. But if they will do enough of these good works, that they can pray you out of there. But look what the Bible tells us. The Bible says that the rich man died and was buried and in hell lift up his eyes, and that it was an inescapable place. If you die without Jesus Christ in your heart, if you die without accepting the salvation that Jesus Christ has provided for you through the cross, I want you to know that when You go to hell, and I don't even like to say that, but when you die and go to hell, that it is for all eternity. There is no getting out of hell. We can have the most beautiful funeral for you that there's ever been. We can sing the most beautiful songs that there's ever been. We can even get a preacher up here to talk about what a good person that you were and everything else. But I want you to know that if you die and go to hell, that that is for eternity, and there is no escaping hell. I know that's tough to say amen to, but it's the truth this morning. It is the absolute truth. Cannot pass from here to there, neither can we pass from there to here. Hell is a hopeless and eternal situation. Can I also tell you one thing? The one thing that's going to make hell hell, it is the complete absence of God. Absolutely complete absence of God. Now you think about the world that we live in, and you think about some of the bad things that happen in this world. Now, if you remove God completely from that situation, what would it be like? That's what hell is going to be like. To never feel that tug again. You know, I can remember being lost. Even at 7, I can remember being lost. I can remember my dad standing and preaching the word and telling us that God said he would speak to you one time, but if you say no, you may not ever get another opportunity. I can remember my dad preaching and saying, if you say no today, this may be the last opportunity that you ever get. And how sweet it was, even though I was scared, even at the age of 7, how sweet it was the next time that I felt God speak to my heart. And I knew that God still wanted me. In hell, there'll be none of that. Once you're in hell, that's the end of it. That's the all eternity you're going to be there in hell. Now look, I want to give you just a little play on words. And I'm going to be finished here in just a minute. Don't get up and leave me on this one. But you can just go to hell. Preacher, what in the world? Some of you may have told people that before, but please don't be out here telling people that. You may have got mad at them enough before, then you just thought that in your mind. But listen to me. I'm going to use this little play on words. You can just go to hell. And you say, well, preacher, what do you mean by that? Well, you know, we can find in different scriptures in the Bible where people ask Jesus or people ask other people. You take Paul and Silas, when they were there in jail and God miraculously delivered them there from prison, and they kept sitting there in prison. And what was the Philippian jailer? What was it he come and ask them? Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they told him, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. There was an action that he had to take. But as you're sitting here this morning, with this little play on words, you can just go to hell. Look, you can just live good and be good to others. You can say, well, preacher, I don't know. You know, we look at this rich man here in the Bible, and the Bible tells us that he had a beggar laying at his gate, and he was mean to him, and he wouldn't feed him. You know what? I would never treat anybody like that. I live a good life. I'm good to people. I'm good to my neighbors. There's a little widow woman across the street that I take care of. All of that is wonderful. And yes, that does make you a good person, a person of good character. But can I tell you this morning that if that's what you're depending on to be able to go to heaven one day, that you will just go to hell. That is not good enough in order for you to be able to step in the presence of God. That just living good is not good enough to be able to die and go to heaven this morning. I want you to know that you can live a good life. You can be good to others. You can just go to church. You can just pay your tithes or just join the church or just be baptized, and that is still not enough to be able to go to heaven. Well, preacher, I go to church more than anybody there. I give more money than anybody there. The preacher, he's baptized me 14 times. I know that I'm going to heaven. Well, I want to tell you that membership, baptizing, being at church, giving money to the church, none of that puts your name in the Lamb's Book of Life this morning. None of that is good enough. And you know what? There are people in hell this very minute that had the thought that I was a good person, that I was baptized, that I gave money to the church, and this morning they are in hell. This morning, they just went to hell. Well, preacher, I don't sin. Well, you know what? The Bible tells us, first of all, that we're all sinners. But I want you to know that you can say, well, I live that good life, and I don't steal, I don't cheat, I don't lie, I even pay all of my taxes. Amen, good for you. Listen, you can say, well, preacher, I just don't commit those sins. Preacher, I know people that say they're saved, and I live a lot cleaner life than they do. I sin less than they do. You may do it. You may do it. But all of those things, look, you remember the rich young ruler that came to Jesus and said, "Good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And the commandments were mentioned, and he said, "Well, I've kept all of these commandments from my youth up," but that wasn't enough, was it? I know lost people who know the Word of God better than I know the Word of God. They can quote Scripture. They can back me in the corner sometimes where I'm going, I don't know. They can do that. But still, you can know this Word of God, but I want to tell you something. If you don't know the author and his son, you'll still die and go to hell. You can just die and go to hell. Well, preacher, that's not ugly, and I don't like that. You know what? There is no action. Here's the only thing that you have to do in order to go to hell. See, we see these examples in God's Word of what it takes to go to heaven. We see these examples of God in God's Word of the description that was given of here's what you must do to inherit eternal life. But this morning, the only thing that you have to do in order to go to hell is just refuse the gift of salvation that Jesus Christ provided for you. When God speaks to your heart, don't move. When God speaks to your heart, don't listen. When God woos you and says, "I gave my life for you, I love you," just sit still. See, what happens so many times is the devil won't come to you and say, "Don't get saved." He'll say, "Just not now. Just not now." But can I tell you that you're not promised tomorrow? You're not promised to walk out of those doors right now. Well, preacher, I'm just so glad you come and brought this hallelujah message this morning. Well, let me go ahead and tell you this. This message about hell can be an absolute hallelujah message for you this morning if you'll just listen for God's voice in your life. If you'll just respond when God speaks to your heart. Well, preacher, I don't like to hear about hell. I want to hear about how good God is. Well, I want to tell you how good God is. God is so good that he loved you so much that he knew that you were going to be a sinner. He knew that you were going to continue to sin after you got saved. And yet he allowed his son to come give his life on a cross, to be beaten there on the cross, to shed his blood there on the cross, for them to pluck his beard out, for them to spit on him, for them to hit him, for them to rip his flesh open with a cat of nine tails. But God loved you so much that he allowed his son Jesus Christ to come and go through that awful pain. The only man that ever walked this earth with absolutely no sin, he provided himself a sacrifice for you. God loved you so much that, so that you don't have to die and go to hell. You say, "Well, preacher, I don't know about all this. All this sounds kind of..." Listen, you don't have to understand it. Only thing you have to know is if you refuse Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, your name will not be written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and you will die and go to hell. Point blank. Straightforward. No reason to beat around the bush. No reason to try to make it pretty. No reason to, "Well, if this and this and..." No. Listen. Point blank. If you do not accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you will go to hell. If I didn't accept Jesus Christ, see, look, my grandpa's a preacher, my daddy's a preacher, my brother's a preacher, my uncle's a preacher, I'm a preacher. But if I haven't accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, I will die and go to hell. And you say, "Well, preacher, I don't know. Everybody thinks that I'm saved. Everybody thinks..." Because as I look across this congregation this morning, and as I was battling with God even as I got here this morning, God, let me preach something else. I don't know your heart no more than you know mine. You know the fruit that's in my life. I know the fruit that's in your life. I know what you say, but only you and God know whether you're saved this morning. Only you and God know whether you're ready to die and face the judgment. Hannah, if you will, come and sing "Just As I Am" for us this morning. You say, "Well, preacher, I don't know." Listen to me. Listen real close. I'm not trying to get anyone to doubt their salvation. Not one bit. But if you are here and you are saved this morning, you absolutely know it. If you're here this morning, you say, "Well, I don't know that I've been saved. I don't have any idea." You've never been saved. I'll try to be just blunt with that too. You say, "Well, what do you mean?" Hey, I know people that I've talked to, and they'll say, "Hey, I remember some guys talking to me one time, and they asked me if I wanted to go to hell, and I said no. And they said, well, here, repeat this prayer after me. You know what? That's the reason I'm a little bit weird when people come to the altar, to know how to help them praying, to know how to help them, even if they come to the altar. And the reason I don't come to you and say, hey, are you here to be saved? Because it's not up to me to talk you into that. It's not up to the person beside of you to give you an elbow and say, hey, you need to go get saved. The Bible teaches me that the only time that you can get saved is when the Holy Spirit is drawing you. And if the Holy Spirit is not drawing you, me and every preacher in this congregation can get around you and we can pray and you still won't get saved. The reason I have trouble, because I know people that's come to me and said, you know what, I had a preacher look at me and say, do you want to die and go to hell? And I said, no. And he said, repeat this prayer after me. But I want to tell you, if you don't say that prayer from your heart, if God's not drawing you and you don't ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and take abode up in your life, then you're still not saved. I'm not trying to get you to doubt your salvation. But if there is any doubt whatsoever, don't leave here like that. If there is 1 ounce of I don't know, don't leave here without knowing. See, I got saved at the age of 7. I know what that's like. I know what it's like to lay there in the bed and say, did I really get saved? Because that's one thing the devil uses as a tool. If he can keep you to where you don't know whether you're saved or not, it's hard for you to do anything for God. And I can remember at the age of 7, getting out of my bed, getting there on my knees right by myself, I didn't need anybody else, and saying, God, if there's anything that I didn't do right, save me right now. But see, as I got a little older, I began to realize it wasn't about what I did or didn't do. It was about just trusting what he did on the cross. That's where you get your assurance. It's not about you. It's all about him. It's just saying, God, I know that you gave Jesus Christ for my sins, and I want to accept what he did there on the cross. But if you've got a doubt this morning, if there is one, just even one thought in your mind that I don't know Jesus Christ as my Savior, if there's one doubt, if there, maybe you were the one that just repeated a prayer after a preacher. Maybe you were the one that a bunch of kids got saved in Bible school, and you just went up with them. Maybe you're the one that, hey, a bunch of my friends got saved at a certain place, and I went up with them, but I don't know that I'm saved. Listen to me. If you didn't truly accept Jesus Christ, you'll die and go to hell. I want to say that with all the love in me, because I don't want to see anybody die and go to hell. How many of you have ever thought, or maybe even made the comment, there's a hot place in hell for people like that? Anybody ever made that comment? I've made the comment, but I want to tell you something. There was a hot place in hell for a person like me, except for Jesus Christ gave his life for me. With every head bowed and every eye closed for just a moment. Preacher, I'm here this morning. I know without a doubt, there is not one doubt in my mind. I know Jesus Christ is my personal Savior. I don't deserve it, but I sure am thankful for it. Would you just lift your hand all over the church? Preacher, I know that I'm saved. Hands all over the congregation. Amen. Hands down. Preacher, I wasn't able to raise my hand. I may have a doubt, or I may know that I've never accepted Jesus Christ. But preacher, I don't want to die and go to hell. I believe what you're preaching. I believe it because I see it right here in God's word, and I do not want to die and go to hell. Preacher, I'm not saved. Would you just slip up your hand and let me pray for you? I see your hand. You can put it right back down. I see your hand. You can put it right back down. Preacher, I'm not saved. I don't want to die and go to hell. Anyone else? Preacher, I've got a doubt. I don't know whether I'm ready to die just like I am or not. Lord, I want to thank you for the hands that were raised. God, you know our hearts. God, maybe there's some that wasn't raised that should have been. You know those hearts also. God, I pray, dear Father, that you'll touch in the middle of this invitation, God. God, we know that hell is real, but how sweet the love of Christ is that gave his life for us. God, I pray that you'll give them strength and courage. Don't let them walk out of here, God, without making a decision for you. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Terry Weddle, if I can I borrow you for just a minute? Becky, can I borrow you for just a minute? Lynn? If y'all will, just come up here to the front with me, please. See, I want to make this easy for you. Either one of these three can show you, and I know there's more that can. Either one of these three can show you, can tell you how to be saved, so that you can leave here knowing Jesus Christ is your personal Savior. Now listen, the devil's already talking to you. The devil's already saying, hey, I don't know anybody in this church, or everybody in this church already thinks I'm saved. Don't let that stop you. The devil's already telling you, you know what? I don't care if you get saved, but just don't do it right now. But you know what? There are people of all ages who die and slip out into eternity every single day. Don't let that be you in a lost condition. Any one of these three can show you. As you stand to your feet, Hannah's going to sing Just As I Am. Listen, God wants you just like you are. You don't have to fix anything. He will fix your sin problem, and you'll be one of His children. Just come and accept Him as your personal Savior. Come right now, even before she starts singing. Would you come? You were willing to raise your hand and admit that you were lost. Would you come right now? Would you come? Hey, there was another hand that was raised. God knows who it is. You asked me to pray for you. I'm giving you an opportunity right now to come and accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. He's speaking to your heart, or you wouldn't have raised your hand. Make today your day of salvation. Make today the day that you find the best friend you'll ever have. More than anything, make today the day that you enter into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and you escape a place called hell. Just as I am. Come on, would you come on? Hey, if I could come get you, I would. But I can't. The Holy Spirit's already drawing. The Holy Spirit's already speaking to you. Don't say no. If you say no and you slip out into eternity, you will just die and go to hell. Church, I'm going to ask a favor from you. Hey, we're standing here, 140, 150, however many people there, 200 people. There's somebody in the congregation that raised their hand and said they were lost. They've acknowledged that. The Holy Spirit's speaking to them. Why don't we come pray for them? Why don't we make it a little easier on them? A lot easier to come than it is right by yourself. Come on. Now look, you're not going to be by yourself. There's a whole group here. And they're praying for you. They don't even know who you are, but they're praying for you. Won't you come? Don't say no. Don't stand there today and say, no, I can't today. Because you don't know today may be your last opportunity. You're getting the opportunity that God promised you right now. It may be your last. Don't take that chance.
To rid my soul.
And I believe that's sufficient this morning. Church, I'm going to tell you, God's drawing somebody. Let's continue praying for them. I believe the invitation portion of the service has been sufficient, but I want you to know God's invitation is always open. Any time that he's drawing you is the time to get saved. I don't care where you're at. I got saved at home. Some of the rest of you has got some wild stories kind of like mine of where you got saved at. If God's speaking to you. But I want to tell you something. God burdened my heart with this message. God's burdened my heart right now. Don't wait too long. Don't slip out into eternity without Jesus Christ. Kalina, is that right? Did I say that right? Made the decision for Jesus Christ this morning. Hey, what a wonderful time it's been in God's house. Thank you for being here this morning. Frank Shepherd, will you dismiss us in a word of prayer?